I've got this poster on the wall in my house. It's actually right outside my bedroom, so I have to walk by it every day, and I usually just read it. And it's a poem by Rudyard Kipling. It's called If, which is, you know, kind of funny to have a poem on your wall. But it's a really cool poem because it's basically full of all these dichotomies that you need to embrace to use the author's language to become a man. And, you know, that's not to be confused with, like, manhood as the opposite of womanhood. It's manhood in this context is the opposite of boyhood. It's a guidelines to be a fucking adult. Because it's full of all these dichotomies you need to embrace in order to be a full-grown adult. Because black and white thinking is so childlike, you know. And if you really want to step into your power, you need to let go of that childlike desire for everything to be so clear-cut, so black and white, so right or wrong, for someone to just tell me what to do. You got to let go of that. But there's this gray area you need to learn how to live in. So that's what the poem is. And it's full of all these, you know, little dichotomies where you got to sort of embrace both sides of them. And the one that I'm going to talk about today, I love it. It's, he says, if you can trust yourself when all men doubt you, but make allowance for their doubting too. That's so important. What am I talking about? What does that mean? So to me, it's about how do you take feedback? How do you take advice? Are you coachable? So how can you take advice and be coachable and allow yourself to expand in that way while being able to stay in touch with yourself and reject advice that doesn't serve you? And that's a really, really powerful dichotomy. It's a really, really powerful skill set that I think everybody needs to embrace. Because accepting feedback is a critical skill. You will never level up in life if you're not open to feedback, even when it's uncomfortable. I mean, I think we've all had experiences where we've received feedback, and it was maybe something we didn't want to hear, but somebody we trusted, who we had rapport with, created an environment where they could tell us some things we didn't want to hear, and maybe it bruised our ego, but ultimately we had a breakthrough because of it. So taking feedback is a critical skill. But at the same time, people offer useless advice all the time, you know, like, and we need to be able to filter that out because, you know, there's only so much our brain can handle. And so it's not only unrealistic to think like, oh my gosh, I'm so coachable, I can implement every piece of advice that comes my way, but a lot of it just doesn't even serve you to begin with. So we want to be able to filter that out. Otherwise we're going to be overwhelmed with information. And I was cruising the old interwebs the other day. I actually started a Twitter, which is very new to me, and I'm probably going to start posting on it soon. But the point is, I found a really cool little thing on there. And this guy said, a fact is information minus emotion. Okay. A fact is information minus emotion. An opinion is information plus experience. Ignorance is an opinion lacking information. And stupidity is an opinion that ignores a fact. And so sometimes when people are giving you advice, almost all the time when people are giving you advice, they might have a good hold of the information. But of course, it's always going to come through the lens of their experience. And it's up to you to decide if their experience is something that you want to align with, and, or, you know, and then take their opinion. But of course, a lot of it's just ignorance too. A lot of people give advice, but they lack information because they forgot to ever ask you any questions about yourself and what the context is. They just want to talk about what they've done. So How do you kind of wade through this? How do you sift through all this stuff? And so, I mean, I would say that, you know, the skill, the real skill that you're looking for is knowing when to receive feedback, but also know when to block it out. And if you can do that, you know, life is going to be really good. Because the reality of the situation is that if you're going to do really big shit with your life, if you have a vision in your head that's not yet real, but you are working on bringing it into reality, you will be misunderstood at some point, maybe for an extended period of time. Not everybody's going to get what you're trying to do. And therefore, they lack the information to give proper feedback. So if you are doing big shit, you will be misunderstood. And that's kind of a lonely place. And you also got to understand that if you are doing big things with your life, with your business, with whatever, At certain points, you will outpace people on the journey. Whether that's your teammates not really catching the vision as strongly as you do, whether it's former mentors, right, who you are outpacing, outstripping, they're not going to be able to give you super accurate advice anymore. Sometimes it's because they don't have the same experiences that you're having now. Sometimes they just lack the context. Sometimes people just can't give you good advice because they don't have the balls to do what you're doing. And that's all right. That's all right. I want to use this particular topic as a way to help you lean into whatever big things you want to do with your life and create a system maybe for filtering out information, because it is a fine line. It is a fine line. Accepting advice, let's call it, and information too, accepting feedback blindly is really what you're doing when you do that. You're like, oh, I'm coachable. Like, yeah, you're coachable, but you're also surrendering your agency and you're surrendering authority of your own life and becoming a victim to other people's advice. And you might learn what to do in a very narrow, narrow way, but you'll never learn how to solve the problem if you're just blindly following. Right? So you need to be able to trust yourself and know when feedback won't serve you. Yet, you can't just think you know better than everybody, because now you're going to end up ignoring information that can help accelerate your growth. Okay? So how do you filter that out? How do you filter that out? Well, it's a great question. And here's the thing. It gets even more complex because it's not black and white. You can take pieces of some feedback. So in some cases, you might reject a messenger. You'd be like, I don't fucking like that guy. Right? Right. And I don't like that thing that he stands for, maybe. But maybe there's a small little piece in there that made sense. Or sometimes you are really in line with the messenger. You're like, dude, this guy's on point. This chick's on point. Like, we have a similar system of values and vision, and I love their message. But there's some pieces of it that, like, I'm going to have to just reject because it doesn't fit my specific situation. All right, so now you're living in the gray. So what can we do to systematically filter that out? And here's why having a system is so important. I remember back when, in like 2008, when I was young and relatively unskilled, the job market sucked, right? There was thousands and thousands of applicants for every position, and the position sucked, but like there was only a few of them. And you had to do a cover letter. Now, what could you possibly say in a cover letter that could convince somebody that you're the man for the job or the woman for the job? Here's the answer. Fucking nothing. But it was a filter. Did this person follow directions or not? And if you followed directions, I mean, they didn't even read the cover letter. It was just like, oh, it's attached. They get to move on. They're the one, you know, 50% of the people just don't even do a cover letter. We just get to filter them out right off the bat because they don't know how to follow directions. This person moves on to the next one. And then, you know, there's the next set of filtering and the next set of filtering. And so even though in this process, they may have been filtering out some good candidates, but they were also protecting themselves from overwhelm. And that's what a good system can do for you. Is, yeah, I mean, you're going to lose some nuggets here and there in terms of information, feedback, wisdom, whatever, but you're protecting yourself from the information overwhelm, and you are creating a system in which you can make consistent decisions, right? A consistent decision-making process. And then when you have a system in place, then everything's automated, and you can decide when you need to make an exception to your own rule, okay? So if we were to create a system, or I should say, this is the system I use, okay? First, I break it down into three types of feedback. I'm getting feedback from people who are leading me. So that is like coaches, consultants, anybody who is further along the path than me. And I want what they have, and they're coaching me on it. So I'm, you know, getting feedback from that way. It's a very specific type of feedback. Then there's feedback from peers and mentors. So people who are relatively on the same level as you. And then I will be getting feedback from people that I lead as well, because I'm not a dictator. A good leader will be open to feedback from the people they lead. So if I broke that down, each one has a slightly different flavor to it in terms of the system. So let's start with how do I look at feedback from anybody who's further along the path than me, whether it's a coach, how do I decide who to hire as a consultant for my company? How do I decide who to listen to, you know, in terms of when I'm trying to grow and expand? And usually, I mean, it comes down to one word: questions. Do they ask me questions, and am I able to ask them questions? So I have to trust that they know what they're talking about. So I have to, you know, that has to be prior to like even considering, you know, taking their advice. I have to trust that, okay, this person knows what they're talking about. They're further along the path. They have something I want. Now, when I go and get feedback from them or they're going to offer me advice, I'm like, did they ask me questions about my specific situation? Did they ask me questions about their specific situation? Because if they are just speaking in generalities and then they're just going to try and label me with a blanket solution, I guess, I might reject that. Right. But I'm going to be more accepting of their advice if they ask questions to understand the context of my situation first. And then questions, the other piece of the pie is, are they open to being questioned? You know, so you can gain better clarity. So you can advocate for yourself in terms of how do I apply this advice to my specific situation? And so it's always easier to take advice when action or I'm sorry, when it's easier to take action on the advice when questions are flowing in both directions. And, you know, I remember a couple of like 2 months ago, I was at this event, a business event. And there was one speaker who I missed because she spoke to the women only. But I ended up sitting next to her at dinner. So I'm at this table at dinner with, you know, Angie, with my wife, and then our other friend who I really wanted to catch up with, and a few other people, and then the speaker sitting right next to me. And Angie just, you know, like, you know, just being the person she is like building rapport and building, you know, connections with people. And she's like, oh, Paul so-and-so had a cool presentation. She had a cool story. I was like, oh, Angie said you had a cool story. And so she like starts telling me her story, and it's pretty cool, you know, about how she started her business and stuff. And yeah, it was pretty cool. But then she asked me what I do. Okay. And I said, just for lack of conversation or for just to make it easy in the conversation, I said, the mutual friend that we have, right? I said, I have a business, basically what John does, right? And she starts giving me advice about my business and doesn't ask a single question, right? But just starts hammering me for like the next 45 minutes with all the things I should be doing. Now, guys, I'm not interested at all. Like, first of all, because she doesn't really know what I do. Like, I just answered the question the way I answered it to make it simple. And I wasn't really, to be honest with you, interested in talking to her or receiving advice that time. I was there to have dinner with friends. And, you know, it was the whole like, I'm like, oh, wow, that's awesome. Oh, that's crazy. And I'm like 10, like that. Oh, that's crazy. Or that's awesome. In. And like, she's still not getting the hint and like trying to hit me like, these are the things I need to be doing to market my business. And I'm like, oh, my God. Was all of it bad? Like, I don't know. There may have been some good shit in there, but I just, like, my walls were just completely up because this person had no context for anything. You know, like a marketing consultant didn't even ask what my lead flow was. Like, dude, I don't even have a lead problem. So like, I don't know, man. but you know, the point is the walls went up because questions weren't asked. And you know, it's the same with what I do when I train people on fitness and lifting and like the whole deal. It's like, I need data before I make specific recommendations for you. So people all the time, they're like, well, what should my macros be? I'm like, I don't know. Let's ask you some, like, first of all, let's be like, hey, do you have the skill? Like, have you ever used MyFitnessPal? Have you ever weighed your food? You know, let's observe you for a week and track and get a baseline of data before I make specific recommendations. You know, I'm not going to recommend what weight you use. I'm going to teach you how to select the proper weight for you. You know, so it's like, I'm asking questions. Have you ever lifted weights before? Have you done this exercise? What equipment do you have access to? You know what I mean? So I'm asking questions before making advice or before making a plan for somebody. And then it's just because I wrote that plan, that doesn't mean it's done. It is not, that is the starting off point for a conversation where you're going to go execute and come back and ask specific questions about the application. And so again, the bottom line is if a coach or consultant gives me advice without asking questions, or I'm expected to just take their advice wholesale without asking questions, my walls go up and I tend to filter a lot of that shit out. So now if that's how that's how I kind of get to the good stuff in terms of getting feedback from coaches and consultants or people who have what I want, who are further along the path. What about people who are on the same level as me? So this is peers, teammates, your spouse really does fall into this category. Is anybody who you're working together with, who's you know, part of the team, who has the same mission, a business partner, like whatever. So, you know, anyone with a shared goal and they're giving you feedback about like how you could perform your role better. And so the filter that I use, like this is an easy filter. If they're going to give me feedback, I want to know, did they offer a path forward or a way for me to improve? And it doesn't have to be like a fully baked, like, hey, Paul, like, here's the 10-point system you need to implement in order to do this thing better. Like, no, it doesn't have to be fully baked. It's just got to be a path forward. And the thing is, rapport has to be there as well. I have to believe, I have to understand we are on the same page. We have the same vision. We have the same goals. And like, I have to believe that they're giving me this feedback for the sake of the team. So it's like, if they can give me some context, we're like, okay, hey, look, man, you're doing this thing. And like, here's the mission we're on, and here's how that's impacting the mission. And here's how, if you made this tweak, like it would move us along faster. Like, okay, that's building rapport. That's going to get me to buy in more. Right. So they built rapport and they've offered a way forward. And even if they offer a plan, like I don't have to necessarily accept it like as it is, and the plan doesn't even have to be fully baked. Just a path forward has to be offered. So maybe they're like, dude, they're like, Paul, you send me like too many emails, which is kind of a joke because I don't actually send or check emails. But for this context, that might be something that somebody might say to a teammate, like, dude, you send too many emails. Some of it's getting lost. Maybe we could do a daily summary and you could put it all in one email. Like, okay, cool. And then maybe you accept that solution, or maybe you're like, oh, you know, okay, that might take a lot of bandwidth. Maybe we could blah, 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 move from email to Slack. I don't know, like whatever the case is. But there's a path offered forward, which leads me to believe that they've thought about this and they're coming to me with a solution rather than a problem. Because a feedback or a criticism without a proposal to move forward is whining. I mean, that's all it is. That's just whining, or God forbid, venting. And I like, venting is not productive. It's super toxic. And so when people are like, oh, I just need to vent, I'm like, that is awesome. I got to pee. You can sit here and vent. I'm going to go pee. I'm not going to have that toxic bullshit dumped on me. Right. And then it's like, when people give me feedback without a proposal, I'm like, okay, well, now I got to question your motives a little bit. Like, is this really for the good of the team you're giving me this feedback? Or do you just need to be heard? And that's not even like not meant to be a derogatory comment. Like, oh, they just need to be heard. Like, we all have the need to be heard sometimes. So sometimes people come to you with things, complaints, like whatever, and they just need to be heard consciously or not. And so what you can do is you can make them feel good, but then internally you may just have to reject the feedback. Okay. And we'll talk about what rejecting means. It doesn't mean you reject the person. It doesn't mean you're just like, oh, I'm awesome as it is. You just have to maybe learn how to filter it out. Okay. So when it comes to dealing with feedback from your team or from your peers, if they come with a proposed solution and good rapport and a way to move forward, I'm going to be open to that feedback. They come to me without that, I'm like, oh, they're probably just whining or venting or need to be heard. And I'm going to put that in a different bucket in my mind. Right. Now, the last sort of category that we talk about is people you lead. And this is actually very important. How do you receive feedback from your direct reports, from your clients, from mentees, you know? Because refusing to take feedback is just a dictatorship. And your shit's not going to last long if you have to be all-knowing, all-powerful, and never questioned, okay? So when it comes to, you know, getting feedback, let's just say from clients or actually direct reports, I need to listen if there's a way to improve my process. Right? Because they don't have the same background as me. So I might be teaching them, or I might say this thing, but it's like, you know, hey, do this with your macros, let's just say to a client, but they don't have the same background as me. I have a bachelor's degree in food science and human nutrition. I've been immersed in this world since 2001, you know? So if they come to me like, hey, you know, this part doesn't make sense to me, right? I don't understand this thing that you're saying about protein or carbs or whatever. I'm like, oh, they don't have the same background as me. I can improve my process for how I teach that to help people who don't have that background better understand. I absolutely need to listen to that. You know, and it's the same with my team as well. Like Angie and I have owned and operated our business for 10 plus years through a whole ton of stages. So there's a bunch of things running in the background of our brain that's like, we don't always communicate well because we're just like, they're operating, you know, below the surface, right? And so sometimes our team is like, what are you doing? And then we have to explain like, oh, this is what we're doing. This is a thought process. And then it all makes sense, right? So I'm open to that feedback. But the filter sometimes is, you know, you don't want to listen to the I don't get it kid, right? So every teacher has had this kid. If you're, you know, everybody who's been to school has watched this kid where the teacher is doing the lesson plan or the teacher's executing and the kid's like, I don't get it. And like really aggressively, like, I don't get it. I'm like, okay, cool. Like, where are you stuck? I don't know. Okay, is it step one? Is it step two? Is it step three? I haven't started yet, right? And the kid's just like, I don't get it. And they're just like super frustrated. But they're frustrated because they didn't even put in the effort yet. You know what I mean? Because there's no way to get feedback until you try. So some people give feedback and they're just like, well, where are you stuck? Like, how can I help you? And they're like, I don't know. It's just, you suck, basically, right? But the point is, the teacher, then there's really no way for them to improve their lesson plan based off of that feedback. So maybe they should just chalk that one up to that kid wasn't paying attention that day, or they didn't get a good night's sleep, or there's something going on at home, right? So rejecting the feedback, but not rejecting the kid. Like, oh, I'll figure something else out for that kid, right? I'll figure out a different way to connect with them, but I'm not going to throw this lesson plan away. So that's my filter, right? Is I don't listen to the I don't get it kid necessarily. I'm always like, hey, do they ask a question? If this is a client or a team member, they ask a question about how they can improve or better understand the material. You know, so sometimes like clients will come to me like, hey, you said hit these macros, right? 200 grams protein, 200 grams of carbs, you know, 50 grams of fat, like whatever it is. And like, you know, and I keep coming up, I'm like 204 on carbs and I'm like 197 on protein. Like, how exact does it have to be? Does it have to be? I'm like, oh, that's a great freaking question. Right. And then we can talk about the buff room. We can talk about the buff room that, you know, matters and doesn't matter. And they can walk away with a better understanding. I like that. They asked those questions. So they were looking like, were they looking for a new lens? Were they asking specific questions about where they're at in the process and where they're stuck? Do they look to better, were they looking to better understand how to apply it in the context of their life? Right. Just like I would expect people who are leading me to be open to those same questions. And when people do that, that energy gets matched. You know what I mean? That energy gets matched. And now I come at it and I'm excited because they're excited about learning. And now I'm excited about teaching. Right. But the filter of like being the, I don't get it kid. I'm just like, okay, we're going to put them into the other bucket. Right. Which I'll talk about in just a second, not rejecting the person, but rejecting that feedback. Like, hey, I'm not going to make a change based off that feedback. And so before we wrap it up, we do need to talk real quick about rejecting versus taking action. So when it comes to rejecting feedback, this is for your own sake. This is for your own mind. You're essentially filtering it out because it hasn't passed the test and it's probably not worth taking action on. And so what you want to do in that case is, A, you are not rejecting the person. You're simply filtering out this specific piece of advice because it doesn't make sense for you. You're going to make them feel heard and you are going to thank them. Because they're humans who at least, you know, we're trying to communicate. And if you are interested in like furthering this relationship, you can ask them more questions. But if you're like, I don't really care if I get build rapport with this person, then don't ask any questions, right? And you also have to remember, and this is like a little side note, caveat, asterisk. you got to remember that some people are using this feedback as a way of relationship building. So they may not want or need you to take action on the feedback that they're giving you, but maybe they just want a reason to talk to you. And so they bring up something you have in common. And if you can remember that and you can kind of see through that, you're like, okay, cool. Let's just have it. Like, let's take that. Let's put the, you know, the feedback into place where it was, which was essentially an icebreaker. And now I can, you know, kind of move past it and be like, okay, this person was just looking for a thing to talk to me about. Now the conversation started. Now we can move on and talk about something else. And I think that's something really important to remember is, you know, sometimes even though we're more connected than ever in this world, people don't always have a great way to break the ice or start a relationship with somebody. And so if you are on a team or you're, you know, working together in some sort of coaching capacity, one way or the other, you know, sometimes they use feedback as a way to initiate a conversation, even if they don't necessarily care if you take action on it. I think that you'd be wise to remember that, you know, because you might see people a little bit differently and it might pull your defenses down in terms of feedback. Right. And by the way, that I'm saying that with like one finger pointed at you, four pointed at me, like everybody gets a little defensive when they get feedback. I'm saying to remember that. So now if that's what rejecting it looks like, what does taking action look like when somebody gives you feedback? So first of all, make no promises. Right? Make no promises. It's not like, oh, dude, I'll have this implemented tomorrow. Like, don't do that. Don't put that pressure on yourself. Thank them for the conversation and let it marinate for a little bit. If possible, go for a walk or go with something to where you can let ideas bounce around in your head. And then think about how am I going to implement this in a way that makes sense for my situation? Okay. So I recommend taking your time with it and just letting it bounce around a little bit. And then when you do take action, let that person know. Like, hey, man, remember that conversation we had? Here's what I did about it. You know, that not only furthers your relationship, furthers the trust in you, opens the door to more feedback, but it feels good for them because people want to feel useful, right? So if you can implement something that's useful and let them know that it was useful to you, that's like a really good, it just feels good for that person. You're going to, you know, strengthen that relationship. So that's what rejecting versus taking action looks like, you know? And if we were going to, you know, wrap this whole thing up, like why did I spend 25 minutes talking about how to take advice or not take advice? It's because this entire concept has to do with personal responsibility. It has to do with self-agency and self-advocacy, things that are massively important if you want to be truly free in this world. Okay? Because freedom means you can't be reliant on someone else to tell you every little thing of how to live your life. You can't. You can't be like, how do I do it? What's black? What's white? What's right? What's wrong? Just tell me how to do it. Like, you can, I mean, you can live your life that way, but you will live it as a prisoner to everybody else. If you want to be truly free, you cannot be reliant on somebody else to tell you how to behave and how to micromanage your life. But when you have values and you have a vision for your life, you're better primed to learn from other people's experiences. Does that make sense? So it's like you can't just take everything in blindly. You can't. But you can craft what's important to you. You can craft a vision for your life. You can craft what's important. And then when you do that, you'll be in a better position to see which advice to take, which feedback to take, and just to overall learn from other humans' experiences, right? And learning to balance that edge is a powerful, powerful skill. And that, I mean, that's why we teach the way we do in Metaphysique. Like, I don't tell you, eat 4 ounces of tilapia and 3 broccoli stalks. I don't tell you exactly what to do. I'm not interested in holding hands, right? I'm like, for a lot of reasons, but like, I'm interested in working with grown ass adults who are interested in advocating for themselves and taking personal responsibility for the life so they can live a life of freedom. And that's why we teach in principles. That's why we teach in concepts. That's why we have a communication cadence that allows you to go out in your life, apply those concepts, and then come back and we have a conversation about it. So we ask questions. We tell you, you know, this is how to formulate your plan. We get on the same page about what the plan is going to be. You go execute, and that's just the starting off point. Then you go execute and come back, and now we're having a conversation about it, about how to navigate this and how to continually get better at it, how to learn the skills you need to learn, all that good stuff, right? So if that resonates with you, I would love to see you over in our Discord channel. You know, tons of free trainings in there. You can come in there, interact with me. You know, that's really the place. I'm kind of moving away from traditional socials. So I'm creating this Discord channel as a way to post my content, have community, answer questions, and just be of service to the world. So I'd love that. You can find that by going over to missingpiecepodcast.com. Just join Paul's Metaphysique community. Love to see you over there. And then of course, thank you for all the reviews that have been coming in since we started the second season. Like, that's freaking dope. Thank you for that. And if you haven't already, I would love a review from you. Like 5 stars, a couple sentences about what you like about it, what you found valuable. That not only helps other people find the podcast, but it gives me good feedback about feedback. There we go. Gives me good feedback about what kind of episodes to produce in the future. All right. That's what I got for you guys. Have an awesome day, and I'll talk to you soon.